don't limit yourself, I suppose, to one set style. It's, if something's worked before, it's not always going to work. There's always a different angle to take, and I'd always encourage people to listen to as much as they possibly can, watch as much as they can, and read as much as they can. You'll be surprised where ideas can come from.
It's the Contenting Business Podcast. It's another spotlight session, and it's with Jake Rudge, Marketing Manager at MetPro Group. MetPro are a leading multi-service manufacturer and supplier of cable management products to electrical wholesalers and of bespoke components for OEM businesses. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the show.
Hi, mate. Thanks for welcoming me on.
No problem at all. Let's dive straight into tell us more about MetPro.
Where to start, really? You've pretty much summed us up quite well there. Started in 95, so we're heading into our 30th year next year. Quite simply, just a really bloody good company. Year-on-year growth since our inception. Continually trying to add new product lines, always putting customer service at the top. And January this year, so 2024, we got an investment from an investment firm, and that's going to allow us to go and do even greater things from here on out. So yeah, that's us.
The yearly growth is you know, that's really impressive. Has that been a planned process, do you think, has the journey been what you thought it was going to be, or has that been exceeded, or your expectations?
I think with any business, it's, you know, the plan is to grow every year. Nobody ever wants to be staying stagnant or going backwards. And I mean, in the first probably, I mean, where are we now? We're going into our 30s. So the first 25 years, it was very manageable. It was natural. There was a nice steady upward trend. But up until 2019, really, MetPro was a business that we kept our heads below the parapet. You know, this is what we do. We do it really, really well, but we don't really want to shout about it, or make too much noise. And then 2019, we had a new MD join, and there were ambitious plans to really go hell for leather and grow the business. So we essentially went from a customer service outfit, a really good customer service outfit, to a proactive selling outfit, you know, almost overnight. So since 2009, we've experienced quite explosive growth, and it's all gone in line with the plans, but it's been, I mean, anybody that's gone through that kind of growth will tell you that it's, you know, it's challenging. You start to hear creaking in certain areas, and you've got to do a bit of firefighting. There's teething issues and stuff like that. But it's gone exactly the way we wanted it to. And hopefully we'll continue on that trend. We'll see.
The customer service piece is obviously, you know, time and time again, great customer service. If you can do that, then, you know, you're always going to be set for success. But absolutely right, having to start to really shout about yourself is what's going to make the difference. Has there had to be with that growth, has there had to be adjustments or considerations when it comes to that level of customer service? You know, sometimes it's a really kind of, you know, the time that you afford when you're smaller and you've got a smaller selection of clients, you can afford so much time in that support. And obviously, inevitably, if the client base grows, that can sometimes become a challenge.
I think customer service and product quality are always really, they're the top of all of our lists every single time, no matter where we've been in MetPro's lifetime. And we've always prioritized it. And because we had such a diligent team that were with us in the customer service area for such a long time consistently, it was really just for them, it was obviously a lot busier and a lot more stressful. But we were still relatively keeping on top of what we were doing. I suppose the biggest challenge we've had has been in our logistics operation. There's been a fair bit of staff turnover there, We've retained a lot of the legacy staff, which has been great because they're there. But when you've got new people coming through quite frequently, and then some people are, it's not for me, and then they want to go, because they haven't got, or they're not embedded into the MetPro way, let's say. It has led to a few, a slight drop. And when I say slight, I mean, I'm talking from like 99.95% pick accuracy down to 99.87 or something like that. But, you know, we set ourselves a standard and we never want to drop below it. So there's been a few teething problems like that. But overall, I think we've done a really good job of maintaining our standards, maintaining our product quality, and keeping customers happy, I think.
I suppose it's putting in a contingency, isn't it? Those considerations, like you say, you know, if you aim to go above and beyond, then even if the beyond slips, you've still got the above. You're still above that kind of expected level of support.
True.
So you talked about obviously those levels, and you talked about the customer service and things. What else do you think are the key elements to MetPro that's kind of brought it to this point?
Good question. But I mean, stock holding has been a massive thing for us as well. Back when we were, this was before I joined the business, but in 2008, I think, you know, we all know what happened there, the global financial crisis. And That was one of the big moments for us, because everybody else, all of our competitors, excuse me, were essentially putting off investing in more stock, and we took the initially questionable decision, I suppose, to go and invest more. And that period, 2008, 2009, that just took us to the next level. So that's probably a big one. We're always looking to invest in new products. We want to be as easy to trade with as we possibly can. So the more products we've got, the less shopping around people have to do, because, okay, there's always the question of the price, but they know MetPro's service quality. We're going to have it in stock, and, you know, it's going to be a bloody good standard, along with all the other added value that comes behind. And another big piece of it was July of 2021. We acquired a new business, not a new business, sorry, but it was new for us. And with that came the ownership of certain innovations within our product space. And that's just, again, helped us to continue to go on this journey of ambitious growth. So there's going to be a lot more than that, but off the top of my head, they're the real ones, the key ones that stand out.
It's quite a bold move to you know, like you say, invest in stock and things like that, like bite that bullet. And I guess, I mean, it sounds like that was probably driven from that, the benchmarks that you're setting yourself in terms of service and things like that, and saying, well, actually, if we don't do that, then that service level will inevitably drop.
Exactly. Yeah. We made a commitment to customers and a commitment to product, and we certainly don't ever intend on reneging on that at all, ever. Yeah. It's simple stuff, really, Simon, I think, to be honest. You know, you've got demand, you've got customers, and if people know that they're going to get the products that they want or need at the time when they expect them to a standard that they know is not going to cause them issues, then you'll never really have a problem. The only contentious area is going to be price at that point. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's not many businesses that start out to, you know, with the intention of disappointing the customers and poor performance. I think that's a given. But there is the requirement every now and then to kind of stop and look and go, actually, are we fulfilling that goal? Are we actually delivering on the promise that we set out when we started the business, God knows how many years ago, you know?
Well, that's why you need to constantly review things, isn't it? I think people forget to do that. It's so easy to get your head stuck in the weeds with the arguably less important aspects of the day job, and keep your head there because it's, I'm too busy to deal with that right now. And you've insert things like, what's our mission statement, what are our brand values, what's our promise to the customer. If you don't continually reflect on that and make sure that the things you're doing are in line with that, well, then you're just completely disjointed and you're kind of setting yourself up for failure or certainly disappointment.
So particularly with, you know, the investment you've just had and the plans and things like that, what's the kind of ultimate goal for the business? You know, what is there an end game vision or an ultimate, not an end game vision, but like an ultimate pinnacle that MetPro wants to be at?
I don't think there's like, you know, one set goal that when we reach it, that's it, we're all done and we'll walk away and walk off into the sunset. I think fundamentally it's just everything that we've implemented and everything that we've done to get to this point, it's do more of that and change where we need to reach the ambitious plans that we've got for 2024, 5, 6, 7, 8 and beyond. It's just we always want to continue to grow. We want to maintain and improve our service levels wherever we can. And in terms of purely from a brand perspective, I suppose, we want to be, you know, known, renowned, if you like, across the industry as a thought leader, and a reliable source of bloody good information, bloody good content, and ultimately bloody good product. I'd say that it's as simple as that, really. Yeah, just keep doing, you know, keep growing.
What do you think are the challenges that you could potentially face coming up?
What are the challenges that I think we face? I mean, I think that this isn't intended to come across as arrogant, but I do think that MetPro are in the manufacturers selling to electrical wholesalers space. I like to think that we're kind of setting the bar in a few areas in terms of the content that we're putting out. So a challenge there could potentially be, you know, people are always going to, you all do it, don't you? Whoever your competitors are, you look to them to see what they're doing. And do we emulate? Do we go and do our own thing? So I think that might be something to consider. From a purely business perspective, the market is challenging. There's been a downturn in construction that was started to be seen last year in 2023. And it's certainly been a slow start to 2024. So, you know, I think bringing in the new product lines that we've got planned, and some of the other pieces of, you know, we're very early stages of beginning to work with a local college now. So we're starting to work with the next generation of electricians coming through, and just trying to diversify the things that we do a little bit. Are going to help us, but yeah, it's a challenging, it's a really bloody challenging environment at the moment, actually, in construction, and we've just got to do our very best to to keep in line with the targets that our directors have set for us.
I can imagine in your sector, 2019, 2020, the whole COVID times was, you know, proved quite a bit of a challenge, or did it? How did things go throughout those years?
It was. I mean, for everybody, it was pretty horrible. You know, we obviously went through a significant period of having almost all of our staff furloughed. It was essentially everybody but managers, really, and a skeleton crew in the logistics operation. And the sales function, because MetPro was allowed to, you know, continue trading. We were supplying product to construction, who were obviously going and getting involved in the Nightingale hospitals and things like that. So we remained open, but as you can imagine, like everybody else, we took a significant hit on sales, certainly for a decent period of time. But having said that, we got through it relatively well. We saw, we did see a few redundancies in the middle of things, which is never nice. But we kept that classic British adage of keep calm and carry on, and that's what we did. And yeah, we survived it. I won't say even relatively unscathed because we didn't, but we got through it okay. And we came back and we, as soon as it was, you know, the world's open again, it was right, let's just get on with the job and get back to normal as soon as we can. Let's not linger and, you know, muse over what's happened. Yeah.
Just dug deep and pushed on.
Just get on with it. It's what else can you do? You're not going to change the past, are you? So it's what's the point in moping about it? Let's just crack on and get back to what we were doing before. Yeah.
I love that. Obviously, you've talked about service and you know, quality and everything, and not to make light of any of that, but like I say, every business always intends to do that. It should actually be the easy part if you're a decent business, you know.
Yeah.
As we always say, that the hard part is the marketing side. And I know you've said about doing a little bit of that. What do you do at the moment? You know, what are your marketing activities at the moment, and what do you find works well? What do you find as a you know, more of a challenge to try and achieve?
I mean, we're in a pretty traditional market. You know, people do still like to see printed hard copy catalogs. People like the phone calls. I think we still do receive the odd fax order through, just to give some context. It is diminishing, by the way, the fax, so eventually they'll be obsolete. But I mean, we try and maintain the traditional aspect of things, but we haven't in any way let that stop us from pressing on in the only way that everything is going to go, which is digital. You know, we developed an e-commerce website, which has naturally had its issues. Anybody that's been involved in a website will tell you that they are the bane of anyone's existence, but they are what they are. So that's been good. But in terms of pure marketing on the digital front, I think it's been, we've tried a few different things. I mean, we went in 2019, we were quite fractured. It was just me on my own. And, you know, my experience level was 4 years younger than what it is now, nearly 5 years younger. And it was a little bit of a sandbox for me. You know, I would try different things and see if they worked, but I was a bit, you know, unsure of my footing. And then when we had our new MD join, the observation was pretty quickly made that whilst we had two divisions back then, nobody said I deal with MetPro, mechanical and electrical, or the other division. They just said I deal with MetPro. So we consolidated that. And then 2020, we really started to, no, not 2020, sorry. We carried on in that vein, see how things went. 2021, we started to really establish our brand. And it was the first time actually ever that we said, this is who we are and this is exactly what we do. And we hadn't done that before. So that's helped us. Last year and into 2023 was around really establishing the brand. So that was, you know, it was a lot of repetitive pieces in terms of the look and feel. But we wanted people to see these pieces or receive our emails, see the subject line and not have to think about it. They know that it's MetPro, just to try and, you know, get that into people's psyche. And then now, because that stuff's kind of run quite nicely and, you know, the basic stuff is being catered for, the team's expanded. So we've now got a dedicated marketing executive and we work with a third party agency on our social media. All those, you know, those plates are just kind of spinning in the background. And we've started to, I mean, we've just, you know, really last year in earnest, we started our own podcast and looking at the, you know, the key topics within the wider construction industry. And that's been really beneficial because it's one where, you know, at least I think anyway, we're opening up conversations that otherwise either wouldn't be had or would be had behind closed doors. And then as soon as people came out the doors, they were never spoken of again. Because we, like I say, we're a traditional industry and people keep things quite close to their chest, which I understand, you know, no one's got to share all their business secrets. But I just think conversation is the best thing you can ever have if you're trying to raise awareness of things or effect change. So that's been quite a big one. And then in terms of the more general stuff, we're just always looking at it, you know, how did that email campaign, how did it perform? why did we see a drop in open rates here? Oh, actually, okay, the drop in open rates was good, but bad, but the click rate's gone up. So what's that telling us? I mean, it's just, you'll know almost better than anybody. It's a constant review and amend and tweak. And, you know, it's like fine tuning an engine, but all the time, the engine's never going to be perfect. Mm. So, yeah.
I see it time and time again. It's really, really easy, either as a marketer or a business owner or anyone who's passionate about the business and what you do.
Mm.
It's so easy to get swept up in your own hype. And actually, you know, you mentioned about kind of refining down, really simply, this is what we do. This is what we stand for. That's actually really, really hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
You want to say this and you want to say that. But actually, I don't want people to think that we're just this or just that. But so to be so disciplined and just say, you know, this is what we're about. Mm. And, you know, and do not just... The fact of doing that is hard, but then to do it right as well, so that it's just, you know, easily consumed, is so, so difficult. But then equally, like you say, you know, going into the data as well, I think it's a balance, honestly. I think there's the data in terms of, seeing what works and what doesn't work and things like that. Mm. But I think certainly as a marketer, you'll know there's a level of gut feel as well. And just experience and what you've learned, like you say, you know, 5 years ago, data or no data, there's just things you'll do differently because you've seen things, you've seen effects of things in the past, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, external influences are quite a... Certainly for me anyway, they're quite a big one. I mean, you know, doing this with you now, that one of the reasons that I decided to press ahead with our own podcast was because I listened to so many myself. And I personally see the value in them. And also I don't like to see the art of conversation dying. So it's nice that podcasting has really taken off in the way that it has. It's really encouraging, actually. It gives me hope for the future.
Having conversations, again, that's a great approach, because there's a level of personality that you're gonna bring across. You know, everybody, anyone who represents a company suddenly becomes a personal brand.
And
I know the term personal brand is because it's a person, but you know, with their own brand, but they're also bringing personality to a brand.
Yeah.
Because so, again, another mistake that companies make all the time is not putting people in their imagery, not putting, you know, not showing premises or, you know, getting members of the team in front of camera and things like that. And so brands become very stagnant. And so that personality in a business is massively important. And if you're in a quite like you say, a traditional industry, that's going to be surely going to be a big game changer.
I mean, I like to think so. I like to think that the stuff that we're doing is resonating with people. The response that we've had has been really positive so far. We know that to get to some real significant numbers with a medium like that is going to take time. But you know, you listen to any high profile podcast now, and it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years worth of consistent delivery before you really start to see some chunky returns. So, it's on the personal brand thing. I personally never set out to do that. I mean, as an introvert, you know, sitting down every month or so with a customer or a contractor and having a conversation on camera is not my ideal choice, but it's been good so far. It's been enjoyable, if not anxiety inducing.
Do something that every day that scares you. So
absolutely, mate. Yeah, couldn't agree more. Yeah.
So, final question is what one piece of advice would you give, with all your experience, to someone who's working in marketing in another brand?
Nick other people's ideas. It's just easier. No, I'm joking. I mean, that is a good way, though. I'd always encourage people to do that in any case.
Dress it up and
repurpose stuff.
Called remarketing.
I think it's got to be curiosity for me. You know, don't limit yourself, I suppose, to one set style. It's, if something's worked before, it's not always going to work. There's always a different angle to take. And I'd always encourage people to listen to as much as they possibly can, watch as much as they can, and read as much as they can. You'll be surprised where ideas can come from. Yeah.
Mm. I think in the marketing role as well, that's just massively important. Ear to the ground and fully aware of what's going on. Absolutely. And not just in your industry, but outside industries as well. And 100%. Just like you say, if you're just buried in your own sector, then you can potentially just end up on a, just in a downward spiral or kind of a groundhog day. But that's fantastic. Well, that really great conversation, Jake. Thank you for taking the time to join us. Is there any final comments or thoughts or messages while you've got the opportunity that you'd like to say?
Just as you know, I'm sure that everybody watching won't be interested in the construction sector, but if you are and you kind of want to see what we're about, you can check us out on we're just at Metpro Limited, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and if you've got any questions or anything, get in touch through there. We'll be glad to help.
Well, we'll get all of the links in the show notes. Absolutely. Anyone listening and watching can find Metpro online on social. And of course, can listen to more Contenting Business podcast episodes at playfairmarketing.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for listening, everyone. And thanks for joining us again, Jake. And we'll see you again.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.